I'm Dava Flowers.
And I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
Welcome to Creating Leaders of Character.
Our purpose in creating this podcast is to help you empower yourself as a leader.
Specifically, as a leader of character.
Dava and I come from two very different times. You might consider me an old school kind of leader.
And I'm what might be considered an emerging leader.
As different as our perspectives may be, we both agree that leading with character is important these days. Actually, it's always been important. Now, it may even be critical.
Throughout this podcast, we'll share our perspectives, not to convince you to think like either of us, but to help you develop your own perspectives and apply them to make you a better leader.
A leader of character. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight. And we're back, Ms. Dava. How are you? I hope you had a good week.
I'm good. I'm sleepy today.
Sleepy?
I know. You woke up at what time did you wake up? Don't even actually.
I don't 3. Even know. Normally 3.
Uh-huh. 3. I woke up at 3.
That's I have so a good. Lot to do. I have a lot of projects going on, and I still don't have time to get them all done. In fact, was it this morning? I don't even remember. One morning I did have something came to me at probably 2:15 or 2:40 in the morning, and I couldn't I couldn't go back to sleep. You know, it hit me, and I couldn't get back to sleep. So Dr. Wayne Dyer, I was watching a video of his, the late Wayne Dyer, years ago that said, don't even try, because you're going to waste an hour trying to get back to sleep, and you're not going to, and you wasted that hour. So I just might as well get up.
Wow.
So, I normally need 6 hours. So if I go if I go to sleep at 9:15, I wake up at 3:15. It just happens, you know. So
awesome.
But got plenty to do. So anyway, we were talking about communication last week, and how we and I proposed that it starts with our thinking and our purpose. And you had read it, or you are reading a book in school, I guess, which is coming to a close pretty soon.
Yes, I have 53 days left until I graduate. And, sir, I am very proud to announce that this is not a book for school. This is a book that I am reading all by myself.
Oh, my
and
gosh. You're doing
I
that
know,
already?
I've got 2 books I have to read for school, and I am reading those. But I actually, it was recommended to me by a dear friend. And I mustered up the courage to make time in my schedule to actually read it. So I'm very, very proud of myself for that.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. As I am. So good. So and we, I think the book has to do with conflict resolution. Is that what?
Yeah, it's called Nonviolent Communication. And I'm only 3 chapters in. It's been wonderful so far. And it's a Jewish man who starts the book saying that he got beat up as a child because of his religion. And he has this theory that people are inherently good, or at least have the capacity for good. And he's spent his whole life because of his childhood trying to figure out how he can teach people to communicate nonviolently. He went through school, he went through college, 9 years of it in developmental psychology. And then in the very last year decided that that wasn't the way that he thought he should be approaching nonviolent communication. He hasn't explained this to me yet, but he thought that people might not be, you know, mentally disabled in their ability to be compassionate, or compassionate giving is what he thinks people are capable of. And, you know, even though some people don't, he thinks it's a product of culture and not necessarily a product of our biology, or our circumstances. So nonviolent communication has been really helpful for me so far. And I'm only at the very beginnings of this process, but it's been helpful so far because what he has explained is the process of observing, and not necessarily analyzing behavior. So this will make sense in a minute, but he said there was a quote that said the most intelligent people are able to observe without inserting their own opinion, basically. So if you're able to observe a situation and respond or communicate what exactly happened instead of thinking about your own opinions, And he gave this really good example about teachers and this principal. And he said that he was called in to help this school because the teachers were not getting along with the principal or the administrator. And so the principal was walking around, and apparently he was talking over their business meetings, and they were going 20 minutes over time because of how many stories this man had. And when Marshall Rosenberg is the author, and when he came in and said, "So what problems do you have with your administrator?" They said, "He has a big mouth," or "He talks too much." And he said, "Well, the phrase 'he has a big mouth' doesn't give me much information here. And 'he talks too much,' well, what is too much? How do you define that?" And so what helped is finally somebody piped up and said, "Well, we go 20 minutes over time, and the information is not always relevant, and it's hard to get a word in." So they go in, and they meet the principal, they talk to him, and he starts rambling on about his stories, and then he finally interrupts and says, "Is anybody going to say anything?" Somebody pipes up from the back and says, "You talk too much." And he realizes that he's like, "I should have defined how I thought people were going to go about this." But in the end, somebody mentioned to him that, "We think that your story's run out a little long." And once they got to the heart of it and told the man what their observations were, or what the really core problem was, he was more receptive and he wasn't defensive because they gave him a clear-cut change. Whereas a lot of times, I think our feelings get hurt, or something's causing us an inconvenience or a problem, and we think, "You're this way," and we go to that person trying to change them and say, "You're not sensitive enough," or "You don't have any empathy for me," or and you know, it's really hard to respond to something like that because, of course, we want to be empathetic. We want to be good people, theoretically, and so our response might be, "I am empathetic," or "I do. I am sensitive enough for you." And then that just breeds argument. So, in general, I just wanted to start asking you about maybe what methods you've had. It doesn't have to come from the book, obviously, but nonviolent effective communication. I mean, I've only been married a year, sir. You have a lot of experience in this area, I think, in comparison. So I'd like to ask you about that.
My sense, Deva, is that because we talk about what is it, tough conversations. I think that's a buzzword that everybody uses about having tough conversations. And whenever I see it, like on LinkedIn or social media of any sort, I always mention that tough conversations are tough because we make them tough. And we make them tough because we come from I won't say a bad attitude, but a not good attitude. You know, when we come from an attitude, whether it's speaking or listening, of love, you know, nobody wants to talk about the L word, but that's really, no kidding, the most powerful force in the world, in this universe, I think, that when we come from a place of loving someone, then you can be more empathic, you can be more respectful, because you don't want to be disrespectful, because that would not be loving, you know. And I think a lot of times, and maybe part of it has to do with the way the world is now. You know, everything has to be so much, or we intend for everything to be fast, quick. What's the term? Lightning mentoring? There's something like that. Quick mentoring. I can't. I'm not sure what the term is. I've seen
I'm
it
not
on.
sure.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and that's supposed to
No,
be.
I'm
I
not
think
sure.
what they the process is. You get mentored for like 3 minutes or something like that, and then you go off
Oh,
on your
online, some kind of
something.
online
Yeah,
thing.
something. I wish I could remember the exact term, but I'm thinking, you know, that's really ridiculous to expect. And these are, from what I understand, most of the time they're strangers to each other. They're not people that have a relationship. You know, to mentor someone takes time. You know, it takes to you have to develop a relationship to do it properly, and at least respectfully, not in a matter of a couple of minutes. It's not going to happen, you know, not correctly, you know. But that's a big thing, I guess, you know, in business and training and workshops and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, but my sense, I think, Deva, is when you come from a place of I want to be empathic, I want to be loving, let me understand. Not, and you know, I studied with Stephen Covey, and I think you've read his books. Stephen Covey said, seek first to understand, then to be understood. But most of us, because again, our culture is in a, it's a speed culture. Let's do it fast, quickly. Well, you want to get to the bottom line or the end result or whatever quickly. Okay, if you're trying to fix something, maybe that's okay. Your husband doing what electrician work and all that stuff. That's probably a good thing. Just do it now. What's the answer? A, B, C. You know, red, green, blue, white. Those are a little bit different than if you're trying to develop a relationship with a person, because that's going to take some time. You know, and I think those tough conversations can be a lot less tough if your attitude, first of all, is I don't want to change you, because a lot of those conversations, I think, start with that. I want to quote, listen to you so that I can figure out how I can change you. And that happens a lot in marriages. I hope it never happens to you. It's happened a little bit to us, but it's taken for us 46 years to get to that point. But you know, if you marry someone because they're that person, and pretty soon you want to change them. Well, what sense does that make? Didn't you love the person that you married? You know, and if you did, then don't you want to keep that same person? And I don't know that most marriages are that way. You know, pretty quickly we want to change them so that they do what we want them to do, so that they can be us. And that, you know, I'm not sure that that'll work. You know, I think Deb and I have been pretty good about allowing each other to be who we are. And I know she has some quirks about her. And I know that I have some quirks about me. You know, she's, and we're, you know how they say opposites attract? Well, we're not totally opposite, but we are a lot opposite. But that's not what attracted us. But I know she's a Germanic kind of person. She's a right brainer, I mean, a left brainer. And like right now, I'm looking at my desk, and there's a coaster that is squared on the corner, just exactly probably a quarter of an inch all the way around. Well, you know what? That bugs the crap out of me. I'm
Really?
going to move it. I'm going to angle it so that I can see it. And I guarantee you, the next time she comes in, she's going to square it up. You know, okay, we allow it, or we let it go, or we realize that we're going to be that way, and that's just the way we're going to be. So get over it, unless it's something terrible, you know, that you can't get over. But nonetheless, I think again, if we come from a place of being loving and kind and respectful, we'll be more understanding so that we can listen, so that we can communicate better. But most of the time, we're not. You know, let me see if I let me see if how fast, how quickly I can change her. That's not going to work.
That's really hard. And I do think that you need to grow together. And Jacob and I have a lot of really good communication to try and work in our own interests as well as in each other's interests to try and be compatible all the time. But also, we communicate like almost too much because I've read these books about communication and we've been through marriage counseling, and so I think we enjoy it, which is really good. I'm really happy about that. And so it's good that we communicate. And it definitely can get to the point where you're trying to, push your opinion so much that it doesn't matter the other person's opinion. Like, basically, if we disagree on something, it's really hard to move past disagreement. It's really hard to agree to disagree because you want to be on the same team. And
But that's
so,
critical. That's critical. Again, Covey, I remember him telling me, we can disagree, we can agree to disagree agreeably. You know,
That's
and
good.
that is possible. Again, with, you know, just this little thing that I'm telling you about this coaster, I can let it bother me really badly. I mean, people have had divorced each other for stupid stuff like that. But it doesn't mean that much of a, you know, it's not a big deal. I can make it a big deal. We can make it a, whatever that is, we can make it a big deal, or we can be understanding and again accepting. That's just, you know, a quirk that she has, and I can live with that. It's no big deal, you know.
I think it was really wise when you said that, electrical work and maybe the trades or math is something that you can do perfectly and you can find the answer really efficiently and really quick, but that's not the way that we should treat relationships. And I think that's an opinion. There may be some people out there that think you should systematize the way that you interact and speak and work together. And I think that that would be pretty difficult, and I think I'm dealing with that right now because Jacob and I have had this ongoing conversation about the house. I'm busy, I'm doing school, I'm doing work, but I'm also the homemaker right now. And so we've talked about how, oh man, if so we're both type A. We're both very type A, and he is the logic, very strong logic brain, and I am obviously, I mean, more on the emotional side, but also on the, analysis, less, there's not just one right answer kind of brain. And so he's been talking about how we should run the home like a business. So if there's something that we can communicate on and agree that this should be different, like for instance, the kind of paper towels that we get or whatever, then we can be on the same, we can write it in our little owner's manual that we buy these type of paper towels from these place. And but I think what ends up happening that we're communicating pretty effectively about now is that if I had to get a different type of paper towels for some reason, this is a legitimate conversation that we had. Then there's a question. He comes home and he said, why didn't you get the good paper towels? And I said, well, I didn't I actually, so you were talking about the importance of words. I said, and I quote, I don't have time to go to Costco. I meant I didn't have time in the past tense to go to Costco. And he took it as I don't in the future. Like, I'm not going to go to Costco for you, is how he took it. So he responded and he said, yes, you do. He said, yes, you do have time. And I was not happy
Yeah.
because I thought, what? Why are you telling me to prioritize going to get your favorite paper towels when I'm telling you I was busy?
Yeah.
So the communication resolution part there that we found at the very end of it was the difference of one word,
Yeah.
and it's so
But
interesting.
it may have started with him though, because how did you say he, why didn't you get the towels, or why
I
didn't you get
said
the,
I
no,
don't have
what?
time to go to
No, why
Costco.
he, what was his question? Why did you not get the towel, the right towels,
Yeah,
right?
why didn't you get the good paper towel?
Right. Okay.
Question.
So you know, again, it goes back to our intention, I think, and that's an emotional thing. Maybe he was, again, and I'm not taking sides, maybe he was thinking negatively as a picking, he wanted an answer, but he was upset because you
Yeah,
didn't,
he's not
because you didn't.
satisfied.
Right. So he didn't ask the question in a way, he didn't ask the question empathically. He asked it with an agenda in his mind that we're going to fight about this because I'm right and you're wrong. And that, you know, that's
Yeah.
not that there again, that's the purpose. Why am I asking this question? Because I want to fight for whatever. And you know, that could be he comes in from work tired and I don't want to be messing with this kind of stuff. Is a better question would have been, were you not able to get the other towels? That's a
Yeah.
little bit less, I can't think of the word that I'm looking for, but it would be a less ch chance of fighting if he asked that question, and you might have answered a little bit differently. And you know that there are triggers, you know, and once you get the emotion involved, it's very difficult to bring it back because it's done. And again, Dr. Covey used to teach us about speaking of the action, the behavior, not the emotion, you know,
Yeah,
because
the
if you start,
observable behavior.
yeah, what
Yeah.
happened
Yeah.
can be fixed. How you feel, probably not. You
Yeah.
know, I remember one time I was in this conference, and this was in the Center for Character and Leadership Development, where you would think we were good at leadership and character. And it was a conference, and this chaplain was up front speaking, giving us some information, teaching us something. And I said, wait a minute, I don't, what is that? I don't agree. And he says, yes, you do. Huh?
What?
Oh, okay then. You know, you're
Yeah.
a chaplain, I guess
Throw my
you're
hands.
that close to God. Okay, I guess I do. You know, and that conversation went fat down fast, you know, because it was not a good conversation. It never got back to where it should have been. But again, Deva, I think it always, we ought to have you. I don't, you, do you remember that A V8 commercial. I should have had a V8. Is that was that around when you
I
were?
do have some V8 in the fridge, but I don't
Okay.
think I remember the
Well,
commercial.
the commercial is was that you'd smack yourself on the forehead and say, "I should have had a V8," whatever thing you didn't do. So I always said we ought to have a reset button right at the center of our forehead, and every time that we do something stupid, we smack our forehead and we reset. I should have had a V8, and we're back to
That's
square
funny.
one, because we do
Good
that all the
joke.
time, And again, it's because we're not, like, probably because we're not thinking. If we were thinking, and what do we do pretty quickly? We apologize. And what do we say? I didn't mean that. Yes, you did, because you said it. There's, the
Yeah. So
brain.
then the argument continues.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. You didn't, you shouldn't have. That's different. But you did mean it, and you did say it, and now you got a fight on your hands, and then you want to apologize. And I always tell, there's a really good book called The 1 Minute Apology by Ken Blanchard. It's a really great little
Love
book.
him.
Have you read the book?
I love the 1 Minute Manager,
Okay.
my
Well,
favorite.
get the 1 Minute Apology. That's 1 Minute Apology. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And one of the things that I gleaned from that is don't just say you're sorry. Tell the person how you're going to fix it and fix it.
Yeah.
Because if you say you're sorry about something and you keep saying you're sorry about that same thing, you're not really sorry. You're just saying that because you don't want to have that fight right now, or you want to win, and now you feel like you won, and the next time you do it again. So,
Yeah.
but anyway,
I wanted to say at the very end that I do have a lot of empathy too. It's all about relationships because Jacob is so logical and that helps me in so many different situations. When I if I had a if you put a coloring book in front of me, I would color in the lines for maybe 20 minutes and then I'd start making other characters in the background and Jacob would still be coloring in between the lines and that's completely just our personality. So he really did come at the conversation thinking, you know, how can I get the right paper towels in my kitchen? And that's so not emotional. And I turned it emotional. And I think that's so typical of maybe some marriages, but also just different types of people and the different ways that they think. So it's been a great endeavor for me to, in this first year of marriage, to learn him more. And I ought to start asking you more marriage advice because you have a lot more experience than I do. So
Well,
yeah.
what I need to do is finish this book that I've been writing for many years called The Almost Perfect Son-in-Law. And maybe I'll get to
That sounds funny.
it. You take
Good.
care. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Thank you for listening. We hope that there was something that you heard in this episode that will help empower you to become a better leader.
A leader of character. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at cloc@leadershipandforesight.org.
Until next time, be great. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.